Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by Iron Jock, our most comfortable sponsor yet. Why is that? Iron Jock is advanced performance gear that infuses pure silver into every piece of apparel through a process called silver ion technology. This technology kills 99.9% of the bacteria and fungus caused when you sweat, and it does that for the lifetime of the gear. No other brand offers this world-class antimicrobial protection, comfort, and performance. So join Iron Jock Nation and get yours at ironjock.com. That's ironjoc.com. Alongside Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez here, Talking.Golf on a Friday. And we welcome you to our What's Up segment powered by our Instagram page at wis.golf. And our Instagrammer, Megan Augustine, is going to be challenged, folks, here the next few weeks because we are indeed to the dog days of the golf season. And she's done her best to get some stuff up there on Instagram. But Gary, I think as writers and reporters, we're kind of at that point of the year where there isn't a whole lot of competition going on in the golf world. And that when we have year-end meetings and stories about end-of-season financials that, boy, snowplows and snowblowers aren't far behind.
Yeah, it's a time when, you know, during the competitive golf season, Rob, stories are falling in our lap and we don't have to chase much because they're out there. We just got to go do them. And this time of the year, you start kind of looking for stories. And I found one this week. And hopefully we continue to find some good stories to tell on our website and on our podcast. Because although people aren't playing competitively anymore, the season is in its final dog days, I guess, in Wisconsin. And then we've got, I know you do a lot of things with your rankings and everything. So there's still things to do. We wind up looking for things a little harder than in June, July, and August, that's for sure.
Well, we kind of teased one of the stories that you wrote this week, Gary, last week on Talking.Golf, and that was the Anigo company that literally wrapped Whistling Straits in red, as the headline says, for the Ryder Cup. And it was a fun read, this story, because, I think everybody's looking for that great idea that can make us money. And Volm Companies is apparently the go-to company when it comes to wrapping the bleachers. In fact, on the PGA Tour event this week down in the Bahamas, I because they had all these big winds, 50 mile an hour winds yesterday in the first round, I saw the challenge for the Volm Company is trying to find mesh that looks good and is durable and that can stay on in 50 mile an hour winds, because there were a couple of grandstands yesterday down in the Bahamas that had lost a little bit of their wrapping.
Yeah, it was a cool little story. Our friend Joe Kretz turned me on to that one, Rob. Joe was happened to talk to the company president or COO, a guy named Michael Hunter. And Michael told him that basically, yeah, we did all the red stuff that wrapped around the TV towers and the grandstands and the corporate hospitality for the Ryder Cup. And it's pretty cool that, a company that started out making potato sacks and onion sacks, if you're going to go in a grocery store and buy a sack of onions, the mesh, that bag that it comes in, more likely than not, it's from Volm Companies in Anigo. So they wound up about 20 years ago starting to do all the mesh wrapping at PGA Tour events. They have the Masters contract, which is a big one, obviously, and they got the Ryder Cup. So it's pretty cool that a little company up northern Wisconsin supplies 90-95% of the PGA Tour with its wrappings, with the grandstand and TV tower wrappings.
I can remember we used to cover the Greater Milwaukee Open, Gary, and the evolution of the grandstand. And the first year they had one at Brown Deer Park, I thought, man, this is pretty cool. And now it's standard. Of course, down here in the Phoenix area, all I ever hear about is the 16th hole at the Waste Management Open, which has become the greatest hole on earth, and the tournament, the greatest show on turf. And that doesn't happen without the combination of infrastructure, the grandstands themselves, but then all the the wrappings that make that, give it the bowl effect and give a look of professionalism to it.
Yeah, Yeah, I, you know, it's funny, Rob. I played TPC Scottsdale. That's the course, right? TPC yeah, Scottsdale. Right. I played it once without the bleachers up, and got to that par three, and I'm saying, is this the hole that I've seen on TV without any grandstands or fans? Just looks like a completely different hole. But sure enough, it was the hole. Those structures that we see now everywhere in golf certainly add an element to golf telecast and spectating that we didn't see 25 years ago.
And I think when you and I both got to Whistling Straits for Ryder Cup week, I think that's the one thing we said to each other was that the way that the course looks, you know, far exceeded my expectations for what the Ryder Cup layout would look like, beyond the fairways. And really, I mean, the visuals from the air were breathtaking. I'm sure the people that were out there in the boats enjoyed what they saw. And it was all because of this little company out of Antigo, Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It was a fun little story to do. And I asked the CEO, Michael Hunter, if he got tickets to any of the events, and he said no. And so I said, you know, you need to ask the Masters for a couple badges as a corporate partner of the Masters. You know, the guy should be able to go to the Masters and watch that tournament. And he said, you know, maybe I think I will. So absolutely. We'll see where that goes.
Absolutely. Well, that was a great story. And then something we haven't read about yet. I guess we have, but it happened months ago, was that the Wisconsin PGA named it the award winners for 2020. However, because of the COVID-19 pandemic, they weren't able to honor them. They did this week. It kind of took me off guard, Gary, because all of a sudden I'm looking at, I think it was Nancy Schumann's Facebook feed, and there's another picture of her husband with two plaques in his arms, which has been kind of standard operating procedure, and I knew he didn't have quite the year in 2021 that he did in 20, so I didn't expect him to be carrying both, but now I see we're finally getting around to honoring some guys that really deserved their moment in the spotlight and finally got it here this week. Kind of in conjunction with the WPGA annual meeting. Why don't you explain what they did and then what the layout will be, the rollout will be for the 2021 award winners?
Well, first of all, Rob, wouldn't you like to see Shoe's trophy display in his house?
Yes.
Man, that guy's won a million tournaments, hasn't he?
A million tournaments, a million Players of the Year honors here. It seems like in the last 5 to 10 years when he's doubled up and he's been playing a lifetime, and you know he's one of those guys, Gary. You look at him, and he doesn't look that old, but he's become the elder statesman, along with guys like Eddie Teresa, kind of replacing the Mike Morani, Dennis Tiziani era that I remember, Larry Tiziani era, Rich Tock, and the great club pros out of the Milwaukee area, Carl Yunus. When I first started covering golf, it just is hard to envision Jim Schumann as being in that 55-plus era.
No kidding, Rob. I covered one of the first golf tournaments I covered in Wisconsin was when I got a job in Racine back in 1980. And I think it was 80 or 81 or 82, he won the Schumann went beat Tom Rogan to win, I think it was a state match play at Meadowbrook.
Yeah.
And to think that was 40 years ago and the guy's still going, you know, he's still winning tournaments, so. Pretty cool.
And he's really the Fred Couples of Wisconsin golf. He's got the best swing ever, and it's held up through the test of time. I just had to throw that in there.
No, you're right. I once asked Jerry Kelly who had the best swing he'd ever seen, and he said Jim Schumann. So of course they're brothers-in-law, so he's a little biased, but still, that's pretty close to the truth. Jimmy has a great golf swing. But to answer your question initially, Rob, yeah, the WPGA had its board meeting and its annual and gave out its awards last week that it couldn't give out in March because of the coronavirus pandemic. And so now the machinery turns around really quickly. The nominating process closes in a few days for the 2021 awards. So in a couple months, we'll see all those names come up, Golf Professional of the Year, Teacher of the Year, and the Players of the Year, that sort of thing.
And the Bill Strasburg Award for 2020 went to my buddy, yeah. Jim Goggert, who was my phone a friend when it came time to buying a golf cart, and he has been in that business for many years on top of, you know, an accomplished playing, teaching, and traditional golf professional career. So that was pretty cool. And then I think you're going to write about in the coming days Travis Becker, who got Teacher of the Year, And I know from what I do with the junior ranks, he's really become the go-to guy. He's down there in Beloit, and I'm amazed, Gary, because when I say go-to, there are a lot of kids that literally will go to him from, like, you know, the Oconomowoc area, the Waukesha area, the suburban Milwaukee area. A lot of great teachers in that area, don't get me wrong, but clearly Travis is connecting with the kids, and I'm sure that's just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the work that Travis does as a teacher.
Yeah, he told me, I talked to him a little while ago, Rob, he told me he gave 1,500 lessons last year. That's a lot of golf lessons. And he said he's already booked up for January, February, and March. Not a single time slot left on his lesson book for the first quarter of the year in 2022. And it's little wonder that he said he played exactly 5 rounds of golf last year. He doesn't get out and play too much, but he's 48. He turns 50 in a couple of years, and he said he's going to work on his game and maybe start entering some senior stuff in the state, which would be fun.
That would be fun. And, you know, he's a guy that is really I think revitalized, been part of the group that's revitalized Beloit with the Ironworks Golf Lab in downtown Beloit, and some of the things that have been built up and around that. And then, of course, the Beloit Club, you know, with that, you know, a tremendous entire staff there. And, you know, they have really become a factor on the private golf landscape in Rock County and most of southern Wisconsin, northern Illinois. So, kudos to Travis. Gary, you wrote about Milwaukee County today, but before we get to that, I wanted to, you know, see from your time spent with the club professionals in the state, what was the take on the golf season from their perspective here in 2021?
Yeah, everyone had a great season, not only in rounds played and revenue, but, you know, obviously we had the Ryder Cup, and they were geeked about that. You know, I think about 100 PGA professionals from the state volunteered or worked in some capacity at the Ryder Cup, and now they have the annual meeting, the PGA of America's annual meeting coming up in Milwaukee this next week, where about 200 members of the PGA of America nationwide representing 41 sections come to Milwaukee and have their annual meeting. So it's been a big year for Wisconsin, the Wisconsin PGA section, no doubt.
And that'll be downtown Milwaukee?
Yeah, that'll be at the convention center, the Wisconsin Center downtown, November 2nd through the 5th.
Well, I can't help but, you know, as we kind of connect our golf with the rest of the world, you know, the week that we were covering the state amateur and the great buzz that was around the downtown area for the Milwaukee Bucks and their world championship run, it just feels to me, Gary, and then, you know, and then the success of the Ryder Cup that, you know, and I think you had it in sweet spot last week that Whistler Straits has become very much a top 10 destination for golf, but I mean, it just feels like Wisconsin's becoming a golf destination for so many different reasons as it relates to golf.
Yeah, and now, you know, we have the Lido coming up at Sand Valley, and we have Century World reopening next year, and it's just more and more and more, and, you know, USGA is bringing more championships to our state, so it goes on, Rob. There's no end to it, which is a great thing.
Well, and then for the average golfer, it sure seems like it goes on because you wrote today, we just posted the story within the last couple hours as we record the podcast here on a Friday, that Milwaukee County again enjoyed another banner year, thanks in a large part to the interest in golf that was recreated by the global pandemic. A lot of people in 2020 moved to back to the golf course to spend their time outside. It was seen as a safe place, and people came back to the game, and it appears they stayed.
Yeah, I thought, you know, after last year's record year, Rob, I thought golf would tail off a little bit this year, especially when the world started opening up a little bit and we had, you know, church festivals and summer fests and state fair and the Brewers, you know, welcoming large crowds and all the other things that people do out, you know, outdoors and indoors. I thought golf would, you know, we'd lose some numbers at least a little bit, but just the opposite occurred. They had even a bigger year this year than last year at Milwaukee County Parks. And I think we can extrapolate that and say probably at many courses statewide, four courses have done over $1 million in revenue, with Grant Park nearing 1 million, probably will surpass it. That's never happened in the history of Milwaukee County Parks, Rob. So they've had a very, very big year.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing what that does to the conversation in Madison with the public courses there. I know that they kind of got a one-year reprieve because of the pandemic and the amount of money that golf was bringing into to the coffers there. And we've kind of got, you know, Madison in a state of flux. Odanah Hills will always be Odanah Hills, kind of the Brown Deer Park of the Madison golf courses in terms of being in the middle of everything and very popular. I think, and then with the Kaiser family, you know, donating the money, the knowledge and the connections to, you know, recreate an experience over at tiny Glenway Golf Course. And then with the Monona Golf Course kind of being a first tee hub, it leaves Yajaira Hills and what's the future there. And really, honestly, they haven't really addressed whether Monona will stay in its current form. So you would hope that they saw the same robust numbers that they did in Milwaukee County, and that will continue to, you know, preserve that. Because I'll be honest, Gary, when I was back in June and, you know, looking for places to play, the tee times continued to be, you know, few and far between. And I think, you know, I'm not saying we have to go out and build more courses again, because I think we learned our lesson, you know, in the early 2000s, the late 90s. But I would think that golf on the public, you know, municipal level in Madison would tell the same story as Milwaukee. At least that's what I'm hoping.
And I'm ashamed to admit this, Rob, but I played about 200 golf courses in Wisconsin. I've never played any of the public courses in Madison. So that's one of my bucket list things. I've got to get over to Madison for a couple of days and play the courses you just talked about. You know, I need to play those courses to see what municipal golf is like in Madison.
Yeah. And it's a lot the same that, you know, as Milwaukee with, you know, different layers but you know, for a long time they were so successful that not a lot of thought and a lot of money was put into the idea of redeveloping them. As popular as Odanah Hills was for a long time, it got a brutal reputation for always having slow greens, and hence the kind of the cynical nickname Slow Dana, and both in terms of the greens and the pace of play. But you know, once I think people, you know, kind of, you know, made their feelings clear, it got better. I still think Milwaukee from top to bottom is better. Obviously, Milwaukee County courses hosted a PGA Tour event for many years, and they have more courses. But the Madison, you know, municipal courses have been, you know, stalwarts forever, and have been great ambassadors to the game in that city. So we'll see on that. And there's a lot of other municipal courses around the state that I would think are doing quite well. So you know, hopefully that what you found in Milwaukee was reflective of the landscape across the state. Well, that's what's up here on a Friday on Talking.Golf. What's up is powered by our Instagram page at wis.golf. Time now for what's next on Talking.Golf. And before we get to that, I want to mention too that Talking.Golf is sponsored by Iron Jock. Iron Jock is advanced performance gear that infuses pure silver into every piece of apparel through a process called silver ion technology. What does that mean? It means that their technology kills 99.9% of bacteria and fungus caused when you sweat. It's comfortable, it smells good, and even in the heat of summer, nobody knows that you've just played 18 if you're wearing the great performance gear from Iron Jock. You can find out more at Iron Jock Nation. ironjock.com. That's ironjoc.com. What's next? Powered by our Twitter results handle at wis.golflive and Gary D'Amato. We may have to have a pool as to when the next results will post to wisconsin.golf and feed into to Wisconsin at Wisconsin at wis.golflive on Twitter, because quite frankly, we hit a wall after the Badger women and a couple of the Division One tournaments wrapped up. I believe it was on Wednesday. That was the season ender for the Badger women, and there just aren't a whole lot of college tournaments left anywhere in the country. You know, this week with the PGA Tour kind of having this weird little tournament on the Bahamas, I called it on Twitter, we have the PGA Tour champions for the guys over 50. This looks like the PGA Tour grinders. There's guys that are trying to preserve status for the rest of this wraparound season, and there's only 125, I think it was 125 guys that wound up being in the field once they teed off. Again, kind of that, as you mentioned at the outset, an awkward time of year, not only in the state of Wisconsin, but on the golf calendar globally for tournament golf.
Well, let's just catch our breath a little bit anyway, Rob. And, the big news, obviously, this week is not the PGA Tour, but it's, you know, that Greg Norman, it looks like, is going to be the commissioner of this new Premier Golf League, I think it's called, sponsored by the Saudis. And there's eight guys who have asked for releases from the PGA Tour to go and play the Saudi International coming up. So there's still a lot of golf news, but it's not anywhere near our corner of the earth anyway, Rob.
Well, and I know that there was some whispers of that on Ryder Cup week. Some things were mentioned, but this was really kind of they gathered some golf media in New York City and kind of rolled out their plans. What's your take on this, Gary? What do you think, as far as, what this means for, the PGA Tour? They've tried this before. And I think Jay Monahan and previous commissioners have said, you play there, you're not playing here. And I think there's more to lose for golfers to go over there. But maybe for some, there's money that is involved that can't be replicated in their current situation.
Yeah, it's an interesting problem, Rob, that the PGA Tour really has had a monopoly, really hasn't had much competition. Obviously, the European Tour has been somewhat of a competitor, but in recent years, it's been more of an ally and a collaborator, with the PGA Tour. And, players have come and gone back and forth across the ocean and played in Europe and America, vice versa. But this is really competition to the PGA Tour, Rob, especially if they're able to lure away, 30, 40, 50 of the best players in the world by throwing tons and gobs of money at them. From a player standpoint, you've played on the PGA Tour. That's where your bread has been buttered. There's familiar places you go every week and you know what to expect, but you're giving that up, but you're giving it up potentially for a lot of money. And if I were a PGA Tour player, Rob, and someone offered me $25 million or $30 million to go play at this series of events, it'd be hard to say no. It just would be.
It would. It's guaranteed appearance money. Obviously, the prize money you still have to play for.
Right.
I kind of chuckled that Eamon Lynch, who our listeners probably see a lot more on Golf Channel than read on in Golf Week, but one of the fine golf writers who never is bashful about an opinion, wrote today that, not surprised to see Greg Norman's name attached to it. Greg Norman, the former Greater Milwaukee Open champ, and of course, really for many years, the face of the PGA Tour because of his popularity and his ability to bring non-golfers into the game, has kind of had a love-hate relationship with the PGA Tour since his quote-unquote retirement. And, we always talk at the time of the American Family Insurance Championship. It'd be great to see a guy like that on that tour. I think he would have been the guy that would have extended the visibility that Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer brought to the tour in its infancy. But, Greg Norman hasn't been bashful about going head-to-head with the PGA Tour, has he?
No, and, it goes back to he and Tim Fincham, sort of had a difference of opinion on, Greg Norman approached him about a sort of a world tour and was shot down by the PGA Tour. And then shortly after that, the PGA Tour started its World Golf Championships, Rob, and that really rubbed Greg the wrong way. And he really has not done a whole lot to support the PGA Tour or the Champions Tour since then. And now he's, it looks like he's going to be commissioner of this rival league. So it's going to be very interesting to see where this goes.
So if you let's say, you're a guy, Gary, with PGA Tour status, and you get a letter from the Saudi group saying, come play, that our 10 tournaments a year and we'll make it worth your while, knowing that you would lose PGA Tour membership. Do you go for that knowing you could gain it back? I would find it difficult to think that in today's system of litigation and monopolies and the like that the PGA Tour would be able to ban anyone for life. But I don't think it would be, I think it would be within their right to cancel membership if somebody went overseas for this particular tour and then make that golfer earn it back. I mean, I guess we haven't gone down that road yet, but would you do it knowing that, if you're good enough to be A, getting the invitation, B, have status in the PGA Tour, that, most likely you would get it back within a couple, maybe by a top 10 finish in a major championship?
Boy, Rob, a lot, I think, would depend and will depend for a lot of guys on what on their status in the major championships. those are still the plums, right? Everyone still wants to win majors. Right. But if the PGA of America and the RNA and the Masters tournament, you know, joins the PGA Tour and says anyone who goes over there cannot play in our tournaments and our championships, that's a whole different question, I think. And it raises the point of, are you satisfied with making a ton of money and giving up, you know, access to those tournaments that have, you know, so much great history behind them, and you grow up wanting to win those tournaments. And do you leave that behind, or do you stay with the PGA Tour and support the tour that gives you access to those major championships? So I think that's going to be very interesting what happens there too.
And not just the major championships, but I read somewhere where Seth Waugh of the PGA of America was quoted as saying that if you play in those events, that you will not be eligible if you're from the U.S. or Europe for the Ryder Cup.
Ryder Cup.
And there's another spirit that, you know, to me, and then it goes back to, Gary, to the fact that I'm seeing this as a 10-event tour each year in conjunction with the Asian Tour. 10 golf tournaments isn't that much. And, you know, especially if you're trying to keep your game sharp. I mean, you know, there are a lot of guys who don't play 30 events a year anymore, but they're going to play far more than 10 events. And they're going to want to play events that challenge them to get better and make sure, you know, that the, you know, the line of improvement in their career arc doesn't all of a sudden go downward.
Yeah, that's another point. I mean, there's so many unknowns, Rob. Maybe this shakes up the PGA Tour to some extent, which has sort of been a little bit of a fat cat. You know, it's had sponsors, title sponsors rolling in. The money goes up every year, thanks in large part to Tiger Woods. You know, they're playing for a ton of money. And, you know, they've when they lose one sponsor, it seems like they gain two. And maybe this gets the PGA Tour to think about how it's constructed and, you know, what it can do to keep players playing on its tour. So the next few months, I keep saying it, but we're going to learn a lot, and it's going to be interesting.
And the other final interesting component to this that I'll be interested to see, you know, Greg Norman has kind of been Teflon when it comes to, you know, people's opinions of him. And therefore, I don't think he's too rattled by the fact that he's getting in bed with a country that politically is, you know, a horrible, you know, human rights record, you know, over there. And it, from the stuff that I've read online today, it seems like that could be an issue as well. You know, if you know, get behind this tour, are you indeed getting behind a government that, you know, is behind this tour, that also is behind, you know, some things that, you know, most Americans, you know, really look at and with a great deal of horror as the way certain people over there are treated.
Yeah, no question, Rob. And you are. I mean, you are supporting that country by playing in this league, which is funded to a large extent by the Saudis, by the Saudi government. So that's another thing for players to consider. Some it's hard to say, but some probably won't be bothered by that, but I think others will take a hard look at that and take a pass.
Well, we will continue to monitor that as we look ahead here also on what's next. Gary, I had to ask the question, you know, this is kind of that point in the year where we in Wisconsin have to find other things to occupy our time when it becomes, you know, a little bit too cold to practice, a little bit too cold to get too cold, and the day is a little bit too short to squeeze in 18. We know that Steve Stricker hunts. What have been the best stories that you've heard of people who do things, odd jobs or diversions outside the season, you know, to get, you know, to fill the time between golf seasons in Wisconsin?
Wow, Rob. I don't know too many hunters. I'll be honest with you. I don't know too many golfers who double as hunters. I'm sure there's a bunch of them, but obviously Steve's the poster child for the golfer turned hunter in the fall. I haven't heard too much, Rob. A lot of golfers bowl in the winter. I know that. And I think there's a few guys in our state who are very accomplished bowlers in addition to being good players. Eddie Zerbeck, I think, is one who, you know, is a top flight bowler in the winter. So those two sports kind of go hand in hand, because you don't really bowl too much in the summer. You play golf, and you don't play much golf in the winter. You bowl. So that double, I think, has done quite a bit.
Well, I think you're right. And of course, we have some of the great you know, it seems to me, I'm sure there are in other parts of the country too, the Wisconsin Golf Bowls, Norse Golf Club now, used to be Norse Golf Bowl, and it still has a bowling alley in it. And the Cooley Golf Bowl up in the La Crosse area, and Ojibwa Golf Bowl up in Northwest Wisconsin.
Right.
Lot of places that double as that. Nowadays, you know, Gary, I'm seeing the trend with a lot of golf simulator installations in clubhouses that are helping, you know, keep at least the clubhouse operations open year round. I know you've written extensively about that. Dennis McCann has as well, about the phenomena of golf simulators and what that does to extend the season. In your mind, is that as fun as playing outdoors? Maybe not, but you know, is that a good Band-Aid or a good bridge between golf seasons?
I think it is, Rob. I think it's those simulators. The technology has gotten so much better in the last 5 or 10 years than what it used to be. There used to be a place on Blue Mound Road in Milwaukee when I was in high school, Rob, that had golf simulators. Wow. I forget what it was called, but yeah, we would go there. All the guys on my high school golf team, we're talking the early 1970s, and you can imagine what the technology was like. It wasn't very good, but the technology has advanced so much since then, obviously, and it's, you know, except for the putting part, it's almost like you're playing real golf on these simulators. It feels like it. But, you know, one other activity I forgot to mention, Ryan Quinn was a curler. Remember right. that, Rob? He
right.
almost made the Olympic team. So Absolutely. Some golfers curl in the winter, too.
And Erica Brown, who was a former state amateur champion, yep. she did make an Olympic team and was a former high school state champion at Madison LaFalle. And I forgot about that. And you know, obviously Steve Stricker takes it to the nth degree. I'm sure there's a lot of snowmobilers out there. I'm sure there's a lot of skiers out there. I think Jerry Kelly would probably count himself in the skiing range, because I think with his son Cooper having gone to college out in Colorado, I think they've done a little bit of that. Of course, one of the other things that we're seeing a lot of during the wintertime is cross-country skiing on many of our golf courses. Odana Hills, that I mentioned earlier, has been for many years a place for people to go to cross-country ski. And more recently, University Ridge, where Verona meets Madison, has also opened its trails up and its clubhouse to people. So, again, when you live in Wisconsin, there's a lot of different things to do. I don't know about you, Gary, but I just for me, it's golf or nothing. And I was one before I moved from Wisconsin. I was in the heated bays over at Vitense, and I thought that was a wonderful addition. Obviously, Steve Stricker, when he wasn't hunting, was hitting out of the heated trailer at Cherokee Country Club. We have many stories about that. So, but, you know, and again, I hope that, you know, there's been talk over, you know, the last few years of maybe the Milwaukee area getting a Topgolf. And we drove by one this week, well, in fact, right across from State Farm Stadium, where the Packers beat the Arizona Cardinals last night. They've got a Topgolf, and, you know, that's a lot of fun. And there's a lot of, you know, Topgolf simulators around the state. There are a few around the state already, and a lot of, you know, imitation Topgolf facilities. So, I think we're doing a pretty good job of making sure that people have a way to keep golf clubs in their hands if they aren't of the hunting, skiing, snowmobiling variety.
And also, let's not forget about golf trips. Just think how many people from Wisconsin and the Midwest, you know, travel to your neck of the woods, Rob, or down to Florida,
yep.
or other points, the Carolinas, and play golf in the winter. I've done it a bunch of times. I know you have too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So a lot to look forward to as we go, but and I don't mean to end the podcast, Gary, on a downer, but I just wanted to mention a couple of the courses that have already announced we're going to start compiling. Something that we hate to do, folks, but it's a kind of a necessary thing of the job. It's course closings for 2021. Northwood Golf Club in Rhinelander was one of them that announced that they'll be closing here shortly. For the season, Turtleback Golf Course up in up in Rice Lake, Sunday they will begin aerifying greens, and then after that they will begin the process of starting to close the course for the season. After the 2 p.m. tee time on Sunday, the course will close for the season. That's about as precise a course closing as I've ever seen, Gary. 2 o'clock yeah. tee time is the last tee time. You've had a first tee time at several courses around the state, but I don't know if you ever had a last tee time.
I don't think I've ever had a last tee time, Rob. But you know, there's courses that are still that are going to stay open year round. You know, especially in the southeastern part of the state. So you can still find a place to play unless it's, you know, 20 below zero and there's 3 feet of snow on the ground. There's courses. There are a few courses that stay open. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Crooked Creek in Osceola, home course to the Danielsons, will be closing here soon. But you can look for the full and complete list here at some point this weekend as we continue to gather from especially the northern parts of the state. I asked you last week, Gary, what's the weather look like in your neck of the woods down there in the Caledonia headquarters of Wisconsin.Golf in southeast Wisconsin? I got to think you still have another month or so.
No, it's supposed to be highs in the 40s next week. It's going to get colder and sub-freezing temperatures at night, Rob. But, you know, we're still going to have days when it gets into the low 50s, mid-50s maybe. And, you know, as long as if it's 50 degrees and it's not really windy, and especially if you're walking, it's fine to play golf in that weather.
And have you got your threshold? Was that 109 whole rounds? Is that what we're gunning for?
I'm still at 97 nine whole rounds this year, Rob. So I got three to go. I'll get it in though. I'll get it in somewhere.
No doubt. Don't make me come back there, Gary D'Amato. Make me come back. Or worse yet, I've got Chuck Garbeating on the hotline here. I'll make him get you out for those last three.
Well, if worst comes to worst, I'll fly down and play in Phoenix if the weather gets too cold, Rob.
Ooh, I like that idea. We just got so this is where the difference is between Wisconsin and Arizona. I'm finding. The courses here have been closed for most of them for the better part of a month for the overseed process. I got to play one of the courses that reopened with overseed, and I can see the difference. And it's like playing on an all new golf course, and kind of fun, except for the part where it's cart path only because they don't want carts, you know, killing off the work they just did. But it's really amazing. It was like every course in the area, and it's almost like a golfer's holiday. And but the good news is now these courses will be in prime shape as the snowbirds come in for the winter and of course through the spring training time when this place turns into like the Miami Beach for baseball fans. So it becomes quite something else. So Gary, get to 100 and we'll circle back again next week and find out if you're any closer.
All right, sounds good, Rob. Thanks.
All right, for Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez, this has been Talking.Golf, sponsored by Iron Jock, our most comfortable sponsor yet. Iron Jock is advanced performance gear that infuses pure silver into every piece of apparel through a process called silver ion technology. This technology kills 99.9% of the bacteria and fungus caused when you sweat, and it does that for the lifetime of the gear. No other brand offers this world-class antimicrobial protection, comfort, and performance. Join Iron Jock Nation and get yours at ironjock.com. That's ironjoc.com. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.